Make sure you get us loud and clear.
Welcome to Used Wigs Radio.
This is the radio station with nothing but...
Lonely. Download some friends.
That one glows in the dark, too.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, that's me.
If and when you run out of Hi, How Are You t-shirts.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Used Wigs Radio, podcast number 45. We're not going to have some silly introduction tonight because our podcast is chock full of goodness. We have an interview with the indie music cult hero, Daniel Johnston. Russ and Todd got to speak with him. It's a great interview. We also have a first phone call with our Washington insider, Scott Schrake. And I have very, very important news, fellas. I have a new cell phone that I will actually use.
Oh, what's the occasion? What?
Guys, this cell phone might be... I might be one of the few people in my age bracket to have it, let's just say. I'm teasing it, okay? I know. You the guys look pretty...
For very young people or very old people?
Either one. Who knows?
Or even middle-aged people.
It could be...
Are you going to show it to us?
I will. I just got it today in the mail. I'm very excited. In the mail, yes.
Is it fluorescent pink?
No. It's graphite. But wow. It's very... Shall we just go in?
I think you should, because... You know.
Guys, you can't reach me via cell phone. I'm not a cell phone guy.
We can't reach you, period, basically.
No, but
can email you and hope, and maybe 3 or 4 hours we'll hear back.
Well, I looked at the last month of me actually using a cell phone, and I made 3 calls, all to Sun Valley Pizza on a Friday, where I leave work, I get in my car. Before I start the car, I call Sun Valley, place my order. So basically, I don't really use a cell phone, and the reason I hated this cell phone is it was horrible. It could not just place a call. After you dialed the number... You just couldn't hit the button to place the call. It would give you a menu that basically said, save this, put it in your book, make a ringtone, buy a ringtone. Like, the 8th option was place the effing call. I threw it against my car windshield once. I thought I was going to die. I was just so angry. So I'm like, you know what I want? I want a phone that only does 4 things. Receive a call. Make a call. Put it in my address book. And maybe that's it. Maybe it's 3 things.
You got like a My First cell phone.
No,
well,
I got...
Know, they do purposely make the cell phones.
I got the Jitterbug. It is a cell phone for seniors.
Nice.
Yeah. It's called the Jitterbug. And I just got it today.
It's seen in Reader's Digest.
Yes, it is. It's seen in Reader's Digest, the AARP magazine. And the real selling point to the Jitterbug people, and you can go to their website, it's jitterbug.com.
What a great name for a phone marketed to old people, too.
Now, there's 2 versions.
Either the Jitterbug or the Foxtrot model.
The Lindy Hop was taken, so I had to get the Jitterbug model.
It's gigantic.
If you go, it is. I just took it out of the box and bought it.
Were you expecting it to be that big?
Yeah. This is. Wait till I open it. You'll see how big everything is.
Oh, my God.
Now, I got to tell you, there's 2 versions. Mine has buttons, but the other senior version has only 3 buttons, and the 3 buttons are 911, tow truck, and information, and operator. So you open mine, look at my big buttons.
Look at that.
And it's basically giant buttons. It's yes, no, and on, off, and look, my phone number, they printed very big.
Gigantic
on
there.
Can I see that?
Sure.
Wow.
It's quite fantastic.
It's the pacemaker of cell phones.
It's huge. It's just, and it...
Yes, no.
And the thing is, like, contours, where you can put it up to your ear.
It's like a Ouija
and...
board.
Yes.
It's just gigantic with yes and no in the upper left and right hand corners, and just huge numbers and letters.
Wow. This is the exact opposite of the iPhone, wouldn't you say? I mean, could you get any further away?
Well, what I do like about it is that the cell phone that I have is purposely made so that if I make an errant click, it connects me to the internet. and charges me for... Actually, all the singular phones do this. Like, if you press the middle button by mistake...
That's what I had, Russ.
It connects you to the internet, and then it charges you by the second or whatever it is.
I had a singular piece of crap mother-effing phone, and I couldn't hate it anymore. This thing will not... put you anywhere near the internet.
Now, is that a dedicated cell line or is that a party line?
It's a party line, actually.
You share that, right?
And I'm going to be doing a full review of this on Used Wigs. Maybe I compare and contrast to the iPhone. But I did go on the Jitterbug user forum sadly, you know, it's old people, so there are only three posts. I think the first post was, yoo-hoo, anybody there? My kettle's whistling, I'll be back. That was the first post. That was from 3 months ago. And the other post was, hello, Mary, Jason, this is your grandmother. Please call me if you're reading this internet. And that was it. So they're not really using the forum or embracing the technology.
That is fantastic.
So yeah, I got a jitterbug, and I'm very excited. People, go to jitterbug.com and check it out for yourself.
So now the dial, you just you open it up and say, like, operator, give me Klondike 555-41.
The best part, if you look in your user manual, they're like, would you like to add names and numbers to your phone book? Call us up. We'll do it for you.
Oh, wow.
Or you can go to the internet and plug it in on an interface, you know, plus the names and numbers.
Hey, so, you know, speaking of old school things like this, I was actually shocked by something this weekend. So so my wife was sick, so she was home all weekend just kind of watching TV. So when you're sick, Todd, there are a few basic things that you always watch on TV, one of which is...
The Price is Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Right, it's one of them.
Sure.
Another one, which you'll get it once I say it, but can you think of what would be number two? Price is Right.
The
and
View?
Not soap operas.
Probably If I Was a Woman?
Well,
or you?
Just in general. Like, what do you come across?
Hogan's Heroes?
Well, yeah. Along those lines. I Love Lucy.
I Love Lucy. Yeah.
Lise was kind of like, she was kind of in a daze, so she's just laying on the couch, and I Love Lucy is on. It was a marathon, so they were just playing a bunch of them, and I was just puttering around, cleaning, doing things in the background, and I was shocked, actually, at how funny that show still is. It really is. Like, you know, you just don't think of it, and all the stuff with Lucille Ball, like,
yeah.
You just kind of put it out of mind and go, yeah, whatever, that's not funny, I mean, I found myself stopping several times and laughing out loud. It really is funny, and it really holds up.
Is it the dynamic between Lucy and Ricky? Is it Lucy herself?
I have to say, and this is the really odd thing, because I never would have considered myself a fan of hers or anything like that, but it's really her. I mean, she is very funny, and kind of this, like, sassiness that I bet really was lacking in all other shows at the time. She's very enjoyable to watch. I was really shocked.
Well, yeah. Things are classics for a reason, though. You know, like, everyone, and when you revisit the things, you're reminded,
this. And then you watch that, and then you contrast it with a steaming pile of crap that was, like, Gilligan's Island.
Right.
That show was horrible. It doesn't hold up. You can't watch it. It was just...
Yeah, there are some shows that...
Yeah, so bad.
We said that about Night Court, right? Like, if you try to watch Night Court...
No, that's horrible. Right. But you know what,
your eyes out.
One of the big, you know, for every sitcom of that era, there's always like a main perplexing question. To me, and this is a really hacky bit, but it was funny, is Ricky Ricardo, one of the most happening entertainers in the city, you know? He's got the big band, he owns a nightclub. Who's his best friend? A janitor of his apartment building, Fred Mertz. Right? Like, every time I show him hanging out, they're like, they're going out, they go on a camping trip. It's Ricky and Fred.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, what the hell?
It is true. Yeah, a show like Gilligan's Island, right? You might keep it on because it has nostalgia.
Yeah, to
value.
You. Right.
But this, you know, it didn't have a whole lot of nostalgia value because I Love Lucy when I was a kid was always a background thing. I never really paid attention.
And it was never on when you were... It was never...
Well...
New episodes weren't on when you were young.
Reruns were on all the time.
Some of us.
But, you know, reruns were on all the time.
Do you know...
Well, you know, it also...
Whenever they mention it, they show it in clips. They only show the three clips. The Vitamita Vegemin, her walking into Chocolate Factory, and then her making the wine. And, you know, they've been so overplayed, and they were so, like, overtly physical and, you know, broad. You're like, okay, I get it. It was cute to watch. Yeah. That I guess you never expected to be actually a funny, you know, show dialogue-wise.
That's exactly
right.
Yeah, and the lesser-known ones that I wasn't familiar with, it was actually, you know, really smartly written. Very well acted.
Well, that was an early shout out.
It was a mini shout.
Because I think I'm actually going to check that out. Todd, you? Did that pique your interest?
Will I check out I Love Lucy?
Yeah.
I've seen some episodes, and you know, like The Honeymooners are another one that are like that.
Todd, you have a lot of time now to watch TV. You realize you're not
That's
going
true.
Out
I am mood. Tethered to the house now because
right.
of the kid.
So it might, you know, pick up the box set.
In the box set.
While you are looking for the box set, Todd, we are going to play a song. And this is one of your picks, Todd. And I can't wait to hear you pronounce the name of this band.
This is the Epox.
Try it again.
Really trying?
Yeah, it was Epics. The Epics? Is that
Epics,
what you guys said?
Yeah.
It's,
what were you calling
But listeners, for? It's E-P-O-C-H-S.
Right. Yes, teacher Todd Moran.
Yeah, do you know what an epic is?
No,
an epic's a noted period in time, like an era. An epic?
No.
You know what?
I refuse to believe that. No.
Okay.
But this is these guys sent us the album to listen to and review, and this is one that I did a sketch review on.
Fantastic,
and,
by the way.
Thank you. And I actually was very pleasantly surprised. I didn't know anything about the band, and I still can't pronounce the name, nor do I understand what the word means. But the album's pretty tight. It's a pop album. Some of it's a little bit arguably heavily produced and synthesized, but really catchy and well-written. This is Thunder and Lightning from the self-titled debut, The Epics.
That's the jitterbug, folks.
That's the sound it plays every time you turn it on.
Uh-huh.
What are the ringtones?
The ringtones, one is the Lindy Hop.
Can you cycle through them?
No, there's no ringtones. There's nothing like that. You don't buy ringtones. You don't do anything with this phone but make a call. You alert people to your imminent death. That's what you do. Guys, like I said, we have a Daniel Johnston interview with you guys coming up, and we also have the one of our first in many segments with our Washington insider, Scott Schrake. Todd, excuse me. Did you see, I did a post on UseWigs last night, a very funny comedian, Ted Alexandro, did a little cartoon short about art teachers.
No.
It is freaking hysterical. It is the most concise 2-minute portrait of...
Is he the guy who said, like, they're always asking them to bring in, like, cartons and paper towels?
Paper towels,
and stuff.
Yeah. Did you see that? It's great. I've seen that before, yeah. And the way then he's like, how they take them and make these extraordinary gifts for their mother.
Yeah.
I think it's great. But he's a really funny guy. I just wanted to say, check out Ted Alexandro on ComedyCentral.com. I gave a early shout, too. What's going on here? But this is more along the art vein, Todd. Have you seen the movie My Kid Could Paint That?
No, I'm aware of it. Wait, did you see it in the theater?
No, I haven't seen it.
Is that on DVD already?
I haven't seen it. I was hoping you did, but it's a documentary about a sweet portrait of a 4-year-old girl whose colorful paintings began to like cause a lot of stir in the art community. We're selling for thousands of dollars.
Yes. And which you did not see? Is that what you're getting?
Yeah, I didn't
you
see.
You did not see this movie?
No.
Okay, so I assume Russ didn't see it. No. So, all right.
So we shouldn't talk about
it? Well, I'm just saying, this is a movie that we hope to see someday, right?
Well, that's, you know, I used to, when I first started writing reviews for Used Wigs, I just reviewed movies I didn't see.
By the poster and the
title
alone? I said
you saw enough of the movie trailer that you did not need to see.
It's supposed to be good?
Yeah, it's supposed to be really good because it turns out that they're not exactly sure she was the sole author of these works.
Yeah.
Her
and
dad.
That's what you gather from the trailer, at least.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of trailers, why don't we talk a little bit about trailers? Because the big trailer that's caused all the buzz everybody's talking about is what? Do you know?
Indiana Jones?
Yes.
I haven't seen it yet.
Do you care? Are you excited for it?
I do care. Come on. The Indiana Jones movies were awesome.
Todd,
look, what are you doing? You're shaking your head.
I wasn't a huge Indiana Jones fan.
But yet you stand behind the new Star Wars movies.
Not well. I like monsters and aliens and stuff. I don't want to see just you know.
I think I'm a little more
guy with a hat.
I'm gonna punch you. Indiana Jones is more than a guy with a hat.
He's right. He has a whip. And more than and doesn't he do that famous line, that's not a knife or something? No, that's not him.
This crocodile.
I had them mixed up. To me, they're so similar, right, Todd? Don't you think? Crocodile Dundee with his that's not a knife and Harrison Ford, I hate you, snakes, or snakes.
Actually, there is a similar scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
With the gun, right?
The guy comes out and he's waving the knife over the
right.
And he says shit. The only curse word in the entire movie, I do believe.
Who does?
Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford.
And then he pulls out the gun and shoots.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't say
he drops the S bomb.
Did they want to.
In what context? Wait. How does he say it?
Like, oh, shit.
I don't think so.
We're going to have to look that one up.
I don't think so.
I believe he does.
I would be willing to bet.
Well, anyway. That
you see, he was just totally shut down.
Yeah, I know. You know, people are. People are loving the trailer, and everybody's just like, this is going to be the greatest movie. And I'm just getting tired of, is there such a dearth in the creative community in Hollywood that we have to keep going back to the well?
Clearly.
Yeah, there is. You're right. So that's not really a question.
How about a documentary that we did see more than the trailer of? I know that it was on your queue, and I watched King of Kong.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, my
damn.
God, was it good.
See, I know. I'm real excited for that.
And, you know, and we're very guilty of this, but we'll continue to do it, is to recommend things and review things and talk about things that have been out for months. But what a phenomenal movie. Now, of course, I'm a video game fan. You know that much. But you don't have to be. It's tremendously moving. It's a great portrayal. And
that's what I hear.
Two. Oh,
yeah.
Not since The Karate Kid have you, like, rooted for someone
right.
to win.
Isn't it like an epic battle of... of real nice guy versus real like smarmy, self-centered guy, and they're both their quest for the high score of Donkey Kong.
Pretty much, yeah. Although, watch the movie, be moved, laugh and cry with it.
Oh, I will.
And then do a little bit of web research, and you'll find that the editors really kind of tilted the tables and portrayed them much more black and white than they actually really are.
Of course.
And it's pretty interesting to read the opposing view and things that they very methodically
right.
cut
right.
out. And you know, to kind of play up the one person's goodness and the other one's sure. kind of assholeness.
Well, you know what? Another movie very similar to that where there was a lot of controversy after that. I can't think of the name, but it was the documentary about the Dandy Warhols and the Brian Jonestown Massacre.
Is that Dig?
Dig, I think, yeah. And that was a really good movie, but it was skewed. It really made the Brian Jonestown Massacre guy look like
him look like a little
Yeah, you're just like, I hope he dies.
Yeah.
And the Dandy Warhols are the nicest bunch of fellas in the world.
You have to assume that the same thing happens every week with every reality show. You know, editors are spinsters. They have to tell a story and make it interesting.
Like, or if they're freaking news.
If there's not a protagonist and antagonist, then it's not really you know, a story that people can sink their teeth into.
Yeah. Guys, you guys can hash this out. While we will go to a little segment of our show called the Day Trotter session of the show for us. And I picked this one, and this is one of my most favorite bands ever out of Portland, Oregon. This is the Thermals with Returning to the Fold. Back, people. That was the Mighty Thermals out of Portland, Oregon. Their Day Trotter session, which I believe took place in early February. They're a great band. They've been around for many years. And definitely check them out. Go to thethermals.com. And they're also on Sub Pop, I believe. Great killer woman bass player, too, by the way. Very, very sexy. Guys, before we get into Dan Johnson, real quick, do you know what, and this made me laugh very loud today, do you know what Rick Rolled is? Have you ever been Rick Rolled?
No.
It's like a purple nurple or like an Indian burn?
It's a very fun little thing that people like to do on websites where they put a link in and they trick you to click the link and guess where you end up?
Porn.
Even better, you end up on Rick Astley's video for Never Gonna Give You Up.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it's called You've Been Rick Rolled.
Cool.
And I got Rick Rolled twice and I didn't understand what they were doing. And I finally looked up an Urban Dictionary. They're just like, just a bunch of idiots who like to put in links. And the links are really funny. They're just like, oh, Rick so and so is really angry at, is, you know, asking to have this taken off the way. And you're like, oh, that sounds interesting. Why is this guy mad? Yeah, I'm Rickrolled. So anyway, kids, be careful out there when you're surfing the web. You don't want to get Rickrolled too much. All right, guys, we've been teasing this enough. You two kids were lucky enough to meet a real indie music icon. True?
Yeah.
Do tell.
Daniel Johnston. Yeah, we secured an interview. It was pretty surreal. Because for many years, I think Russ and I have both been very aware of his music and enjoyed his music. We've watched the documentary. We've read about him. You know, the music is enjoyable on certain levels, but also, like, Daniel Johnston, the man, is extremely interesting. Psychologically, sociologically, musically, artistically, he's also, he does a tremendous amount of drawing and painting and things. And to be able to sit down and talk with him was a real pleasure and an honor. He definitely struggles with with a lot of issues. He's medicated, I think, as a result of those struggles.
And he is self-proclaimed mentally ill.
Yeah, oh,
he
yeah.
mentions that in the interview.
Yeah.
So it's not one of those, you know, kind of artists out there who doesn't cop up to, I'm mentally ill. You know, a lot of mentally ill people think they're fine. He understands his situation.
Yep. And acknowledges kind of acknowledge it, yeah, it and embraces it. Right. And yeah, but it was a really interesting interview and a very challenging interview, I think Russ would agree. Because on the one hand, you really admire this person, but on the other hand, you know, it was a challenge to get him talking.
I thought it was great because, you know, especially, you know, again, you talk about the way that something is edited. And he mentions the movie a little bit too, but the way that the movie is edited, it's edited in a way that it creates an arc. You know, so when he's having the difficult episodes, they really portray him as like pretty out there. And I'm not saying that he didn't have some episodes, you know, but you know, I think that I definitely went into it thinking this anything could happen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I didn't know what we were going to get out of it. And he was, you know, he was so kind and so nice and, you know, really down to earth.
Very hospitable.
And he was very conversational.
Now, this was before he performed?
This was before the show, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And so he was sitting by himself in this room that I believe only had just one light. It was kind of like a standing lamp behind him. And he's sitting in this large chair like the Godfather smoking a cigarette. And we walk in and he asks for us to get him a Diet Mountain Dew. He's like addicted to Diet Mountain Dews. Yeah. And they're like empty Diet Mountain Dews all over. And we had to go into the refrigerator and fish one out for him before the interview. But yeah, I mean, you'll hear. He was very cooperative and very sweet and very sincere. And just like his art and his music, just completely sincere.
Yeah, I think the only shocking thing about the interview was the state of the Trocadero's green room.
A piece of crap?
Also,
really?
See if you can tell how starving Russ is. He's famished. Russ is famished in this interview. He's surly.
All right, people. Well, let's take a listen to... This is Russ and Todd interviewing Daniel Johnston at the Trocadero in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
You hurt me so bad. You were the best friend I ever had. Now I'm crawling in my shoes, trying to get back. Dreams.
Hello, Used Wigs Radio listeners. This is Todd Marone of Used Wigs Radio. I'm here with my partner, Russ Stark, and we have the distinct pleasure and honor to sit down and chat with Mr. Daniel Johnston. Hi, Daniel.
Hello there, everybody. Hi.
Daniel, and again, it's a real thrill. Thanks so much for sitting down to chat with us. I guess the first thing that comes to mind for me is, you know, you're so prolific and so accomplished in so many different genres, an artist, a writer, a musician. If you had to sit down and write a resume, what were some of the things, or what would be some of the things that you put on there? What are some of the things that you're most proud of?
Well, I love to write songs, I love to do cartoons, and I love to just talk to my friends. I love being around my friends, I love getting high, you know, I love having my own band. Things are going just great for me, because for a long time I really suffered and I was starving, I was poor, but I finally made it and I'm making a living and touring the world and stuff, and it's a lot to be grateful for. I'm really happy.
Well, that's great. Congratulations.
Yeah, how long have you been on the tour that you're on right now?
This is about the third show on this tour.
Okay. Yeah, and so how long will it go for?
Well, maybe three or four more shows before we go back to Texas.
Okay. What do you think about the snow here in Philly?
Man, in Texas, we haven't seen snow for 20 years. You know, it's too hot there.
Sure.
And Texas is like hell. In the summertime, you go outside, it could be as much as 120 degrees. It's like hell. Sunshine. So I stay inside all the time. And, you know, I'm like drawing pictures, writing songs, and drawing pictures and writing songs. And so my dog was in the backyard. So one day I walked out to play around with my dog a little bit, and I saw a tree, and I thought, wow, this is a great tree. It looks like somebody drew it or something, because all I knew was art, not real life.
Right, right.
But real life is really greater than art, really. I think you might lose that sometimes if you do too much art. You know, you forget how real life is better than art somehow.
Speaking of art, it seems like the most of your drawings are centered around perhaps an interest or preoccupation, or maybe even an obsession with comic book characters and superheroes.
That's for sure.
Yeah, and it seems to me, especially Marvel, the Marvel superheroes
that's right.
caught your fancy.
The thing is, I always wanted to do comic books someday, and I've even had some offers from some comic book companies, from The Simpsons and Dark Horse, and I would like to take them up on it. You know, I just think that I'm practicing. And when I feel like I'm ready, I'll go for it. I want to do some comic books. I always wanted to. I never figured I'd get anywhere with my music more than my comic books. But it looks like I might have a chance with both of them. So it's fun.
And I assume you're a fan of and you read a lot of comic books? Or who is your favorite superhero?
Captain America.
Captain America is one that we see pop up quite a bit in your drawings.
Mm-hmm.
If Daniel Johnson was a superhero, what powers would he have?
Yeah, I wish I could have like Superman's power. And nobody could defeat me.
So the guys that you were out there playing with, is that your band on tour now, or is that you're just playing a couple songs with them?
Yeah, these bands that I do with, we just met, you know, and we just ran through those songs, and I really enjoy playing with them. We have different bands in every town, you know, to do the shows with, you know.
Right.
And me and my friend Brett that just played, we do a set in between. I come out first, play a few songs, then he joins me, and then the band joins me at the end.
Ah, okay.
And speaking of songwriting, and again, you're tremendously prolific. You've been writing for many years, and it seems like there's no end to the Daniel Johnston catalog. But you also mentioned some of the struggles that you had, whether they be emotional or romantic and things like that. And it seems like a lot of your songs are kind of the byproduct of these struggles.
Mm-hmm.
If you could wave a magic wand and exorcise these demons, how would that impact or affect your songwriting, do you think?
Well, you know, when the movie came out, right before we went to go see it in Utah premiere, they said the title was That Devil and Daniel Johnston. I was like, oh man, that's horrible. So it's kind of funny, I guess.
And speaking of the documentary, that's I think that's the way a lot of people have been turned on to your music, have been turned on to your artwork. You know,
I get letters all the time. It goes like this: Hi, Daniel. I, too, am mentally ill. And then they go on and on.
Right, right. But it must be really rewarding to give people who have those certain struggles a kind of hope.
I don't know. I was in the mental hospitals for a long time.
Uh-huh.
crazy people can be very dangerous, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, one thing that I really admire about you is that your songwriting seems, it's like second nature for you. You know, mm-hmm. It just seems like it just comes right out.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people see that, but, you know, did you hear the album? I'm sure you did, with all those groups that did all covers of your songs?
Yes, of course.
What did you think about that?
Well, a lot of my friends were on that album, so it was enjoyable to listen to, yeah.
I mean, you know, those are some of the most respected artists today, and they all look up to you as a songwriter. That's gotta feel great.
Yeah, it was. I've known all those. They were mostly all my friends, so it was pretty cool. And Tom Waits was a surprise.
Yeah,
I like Tom Waits too.
And you know, both with your music and your art, there's just such a sincerity to it.
I don't know. I guess I get it from the Beatles a lot.
Are they your favorites?
Yeah, I was writing songs before the Beatles. I kept trying to write songs, and I kept trying to write. But as soon as I heard the Beatles, I started to understand music better. You know,
sure.
And I had my Beatles. Yeah, that's right.
Uh huh.
I had my Beatles, complete Beatles. I'd play the Beatles songs all the time. And,
yeah.
And you know, work on my own. I'd rearrange their chords in the songbooks. You know,
right.
Of course, the songbooks were pretty much fake books, as you hear it called, you know.
Sure.
You know, but I just make the chords go backwards and rearrange them, you know, and stuff like that. Because the Beatles said that that's what they do with chord charts, you know, so.
Yeah, we just heard you out there singing In My Life. I heard you do a cover before. That sounds great.
Yeah, that was cool, yeah.
Yeah, super cool. Hey, you know, a lot of people could say that you are the original kind of do-it-yourself publicist too, because you know, nowadays with the internet and this very viral way to market yourself, like bands like Vampire Weekend and Clap Your Hands and Say Yeah have found success basically taking their music right to the people. But before the internet, there you were, Daniel Johnson, making tapes and handing them out. Talk a little bit about you know, your avenue to success in that
way. When I first moved to Austin, I started making copies of my tapes, and I just handed them out to anybody that looked even remotely interested in music, especially pretty girls. And then when so I had my first gig, right, and I put my posters all over town, and I knew I'd passed out thousands of tapes and stuff, and then it was a packed house my first night, and they really went crazy when I played. They even applauded, and I wasn't finished with the song yet.
Wow.
And they were like, well, I better finish it. So I went ahead and did it. But those were the days. It was a lot of fun. All my friends that I knew and playing in bands that we did shows together, you know, ended up on the Cutting Edge MTV special when MTV came to town. And we were all flipped out, you know. In my mind, I thought I finally made it, you know. It was great.
You have to confirm something for me, because I heard the story about how with your first album, when people wanted other copies, if you didn't have the master, you would go and re-record the whole album song for song.
He said was, it was true, because all I had in those days was just a little tape recorder. So every time I made a new friend, I was going to college, and I'd make them for my art professor, for my friends, all of them tapes. And I called it Songs of Pain from that era. So there's a lot of tapes out there that I wouldn't even know how to get back.
Right.
You know, but so it's true. I did. I kept recording new albums all the time.
Yeah, I mean, that was unbelievable. The discipline that must have taken.
That's right.
To
but when I got by the time I got to Austin, I had a tape duplicator.
Ah, there you go.
That was
a good investment.
Yeah,
that's that was a lot easier.
Yeah.
Well, we won't take any more of your time. I know you're excited here to play for the first time at the Trocadero in Philadelphia. Not your first time in Philadelphia? Or is it your first time in Philadelphia?
I've been here before.
Yeah. And what impression do you have of Philadelphia?
Impression?
Yeah.
I love Philadelphia cheese on my... Uh-huh.
On your cheese steak?
On my bagels.
Ah. Okay, Philadelphia cream cheese?
There you go.
Okay, well, you bring us the music, and we'll give you the cream cheese, and it'll be a perfect marriage.
Well, Daniel, you said that the early days were the golden era, but we'd like to think that right now is the golden era for you.
Well, thank you very kindly. I'm hoping if I keep on practicing, I can get some better songs. And so, thank you very much.
We can't wait for the show, Daniel. Good luck.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for talking to us.
Okay.
All right.
Real honor.
I'm getting closer to the fact I've turned my back.
walking down that lonely road and my heavy load. I didn't bother to bring it when the sun shines down on me. I feel like I deserve it when the sun shines down. I'm hiding out where you can't see, behind a wall, in the back of the room.
And we're back, people. That was Russ and Todd's exclusive interview with Daniel Johnston. Very nice interview, boys. He seems like a very sweet guy.
Yeah.
You know, and his music pretty much is exactly what I would expect.
What'd you think of the show, Russ, by the way?
Yeah, I was going to ask you.
I thought it was great.
Yeah, it was really moving. Mm-hmm. And he did a bunch of different combinations. He worked solo for a couple songs. Then he had...
Capital Years, right?
Yeah, then he had the Capitol Years behind him, but he also, between those, had just one guy accompanying him. And I'm not a huge fan of Beatles covers, typically, because I'm just a big Beatles fan anyway, so why would you want to listen to someone else do the song? But he did a version, he did a couple Beatles covers, Daniel Johnston did, one of which was Hide Your Love Away, which was tremendously moving. Yeah, and, it really took on a very different meaning, because supposedly the song was originally written by John about his feelings for Brian Epstein. And Daniel Johnston, if you watch the documentary and listen to him speak, a lot of instances of falling in love and that not being returned.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah.
Unrequited.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good work.
like I say, an icon or a cult kind of figure, because everyone from, Kurt Cobain really brought him into the limelight, I would say.
By wearing his shirt first.
Yes.
The Hi, How Are You shirt, yeah.
The Hi, How Are You shirt. Mm-hmm. And everyone from, like, I think Pearl Jam to Bjork, really embraced the guy and his the whole mystique and his music and everything like that.
He's definitely an acquired taste,
Yeah.
And if you jump right into him, like if someone were to wander into that concert while he was up there by himself performing, they wouldn't be able to make heads or tails of it. They didn't know anything about Daniel Johnston. Like, what is
so
this?
You would say he's somewhere between Jandek and maybe Butthole Surfers.
He's outsider music. That's the way they categorize it,
Okay. Fair enough. Well, that was a very good interview, guys. You guys, you made us proud here at Used Wigs Radio. In other words, you didn't embarrass us.
Thanks.
Which is good. Yeah, which is great.
That's what we always shoot for.
Yeah.
We have like a little huddle backstage before we had the interview.
Let's not
embarrass Jeff.
Asses out of ourselves.
Break.
No, not embarrass me. The brand I'm talking about.
Oh,
the
right,
brand
right.
of Used Wigs
right.
Radio. You remember we had the branding consultants in. And they tell us all the time we have to keep the brand up. Guys, right now we're going to be talking to a Used Wigs writer, also a writer for the Huffington Post. And most people know him as the ultimate Washington insider. That would be Scott Schrake.
Scott here.
How are you, Scott?
I'm all right. Is this your new cell phone number?
This is Russ's. This is Russ's line, and we're using technology called recordmycalls.com. All on the phone, talking to that.
It's cutting out a little bit.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it might be Russ's crappy.
Yeah.
Three phones for $12.
No, I mean, you sound good on this end.
Okay, well, you guys don't sound so good, but we'll deal with it.
Really low energy and not feeling it. You better have high energy. How about that?
I can dig it.
This phone call will be recorded for Usewig3.
God, this is our first foray into talking to Ultimate Washington Insider.
You're fading out again.
Am I? Can you hear us now?
Yeah.
So, Washington Insider, you must be pretty excited after last night's results.
Yeah, and I feel kind of like Hillary herself right now.
Is that because you're dressed like her, or just you kind of?
I wish. I wish I had that kind of sensational wardrobe, but. And right now I'm up. I have to be on my game because I'm your first guest by remote, right?
Yeah, you pretty much are with this new technology.
With the new technology, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm important.
Yeah, you're our first recurring guest.
I hate to say this, but you're fading out again.
I'm fading out?
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll just ask a very short question.
Wait, what?
Well, how about, I just ask short questions and let you guys do the majority of talk.
Okay. No, I said that because every time you stop talking, it sounds like a dead line.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Kind of like when you're on a cell phone in a bad connection.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't tell when you're going to talk again.
All right,
but,
you know what?
Yeah.
When I stop talking, I'll stop talking. Like, I'll only talk in short spurts.
Maybe you should take
then,
over.
Then there'll be no cross talk.
Right. So when I'm done saying something, I'll say over. Over.
I like over. I've always been a big fan of CB radio and walkie-talk.
Over. What would it be? Over.
Okay, you want to know my handle? Copy that.
Roger.
Over.
Did anyone here have a handle?
My dad had a CB handle. He was Swamp Fox.
Really?
Yeah.
Marian Anderson? Who would not marry him? Who was the Swamp Fox in World War II? Anybody?
Not Marian Anderson, for Christ's sake.
Marian, no, you're right. Is his name Marian Campbell or something? Anyway,
Marian Barry?
Let's get back to talking about the wonders of being a Washington Insider. Over. Scott,
okay.
Over.
I've got a lot of things to say. Over.
You go right ahead. Over.
Well, first of all, we're not going to call my building by name. We're going to call it, it's named after a place, but we're going to call it the Michigan.
Okay.
And you'll see why I have to give it a name as I talk about it.
Is this, we're giving this a special name to protect the anonymity-wise? Over?
Yes.
Over.
Yeah. Yes, I wouldn't want anyone to know where I actually live. Over.
I think part of being a Washington Insider is the air of mystery, and you wouldn't want to give up your location. Over.
Copy that. Over.
Go on. Over. Can you give us a history of the Michigan? Over.
I think Russ is going to have a hard time editing this.
I am.
Over.
Oh, I am. Over.
Okay, that was our first failed attempt at a remote link-up with Ultimate Washington Insider Scott Schrake. But we did think that the results were funny enough to warrant keeping them in there.
Oh, right.
But we think we know what the issue was, so we'll have that fixed up for next time. Until then, here's a track from No Go No, another band from Portland, Oregon. And this is Sunday Morning off their EP, Waking is Sleeping. We'll be right back.
So that was No Go No from Portland, Oregon, and that was their song Sunday Morning off their latest EP.
Well, very good. I liked it, Russ.
Okay, Jeff.
Yeah, what do you know about them apples? Uh-oh, mic problem. I think...
this is why.
Russ has figured out that the last couple podcasts...
I don't know why that happened. It's been facing that way.
Oh,
that's all right. I mean, it's fine.
It's good.
Now we know what the issue is.
We've been besieged with emails saying, I'd love me some Russ on the show, but he's been sounding a little low lately.
Right.
That mellifluous Long Island accent, I want it 100% in full digital stereo.
I know. Well, you know what? There's so many balls to keep in the air here at Newsweek's Radio that I didn't even realize. You know what? I think that I used this mic for something else, and I switched it in the stand, and so it's been facing the wrong way. And
I haven't even noticed. When you're keeping that many balls in the air, you have to adjust the jeans.
But do you hear
also
how good I sound now?
Yeah.
Scooby-dooby-doo. So we're all set now.
Now we're back at full force, full sonic force.
Oh man, it's good.
Yeah,
on the air balls,
guys. Right now, it's a little part of the show we like to call shoutouts.
Hip hip hooray! Hip hip hooray!
Hooray! Hey, Todd, how about you go first in the shoutout segment?
I have a literary shoutout.
Wow.
I think perhaps we all have kind of and probably there has been an agreed upon list of books that should be read. Great American or great English literature.
Okay.
Right?
I only read Russian literature.
Well, I think Mark Twain once said, a man who does not read great books is no better than a man who cannot. Or something like that. And of course, the subtext being that women should not read because it just puts ideas in their head, you know? But anyway.
True.
So I have at least walked around for many years saying, like, you know what? There's a handful of books that I've always meant to read. So I started small. Animal Farm.
Okay.
I just finished that last night.
George Orwell.
That was the first time
George Orwell.
Read that? Yeah, it was the first time. I know a lot of people read it in school.
Yeah.
It's a tremendously short, tiny, small, like, pamphlet-sized book. And I thought that would be the way to begin this kind of arduous task of reading the greats, because that was the smallest, shortest one, mm-hmm. you know? So it's, and the hardest step of a journey is the first, you know? So,
So I
started with the smallest book on the list, mm-hmm. Animal Farm, and really enjoyed it. So if you haven't read Animal Farm, like I hadn't, I would say definitely pick it up.
I've been doing that with books too.
Yeah. Well, like the I Love Lucy, you know, it's a classic for a reason. And I put it down last
the
night.
The book I Love Lucy or the TV show?
So I would recommend Animal Farm. I would also, though, uh-oh, like to recommend, and this is months and months after it's probably been out, but I just watched the finale special episode, holiday episode of Extras, which concluded the second season of the Ricky Gervais show, and it was tremendously moving. I thought I definitely laughed out loud, and I was definitely choked up by it and through it. And and the ending of it, I don't want to give it away because I know Russ hasn't seen it but plans to. But the ending of it was very moving and very touching. And he's done it again, that Ricky. He has done it again,
Rick.
And I say, Todd, we talked about it. I agree. I thought it was a great way to end the show. He really knows to go out on top.
Is mm-hmm. that the end of the series?
Yeah, yeah.
Ah, really?
But yep. But I did have my problems halfway. Pretty much almost all the second season, where it just got old for me.
It was formulaic. We had the Maggie character putting her foot in the mouth. We had the celebrity.
That's what I was
cameo appearances.
Like, so, I watched maybe three or four discs, right? Or maybe I only watched about half of season one, and then I was like, yeah, you know what? It wasn't holding my attention. So here's what I'm going to ask: if I want to be moved by that last show, how many shows before it do I need to watch?
None.
did you watch it on DVD or was it on
DVD?
Okay,
yeah.
So how many shows back do I have to go?
The conclusion of the series finds him. He's not an extra anymore.
Yeah,
he kind of makes it, right? So he has his own show.
But I think you had said something like see the last few shows because there's a thread.
Yeah, watch one or two leading up to it. Just to get the feel.
Because I feel like that's all I need.
I mean, it's an emotional roller coaster. No, you don't get on at the top.
But I really was in the same camp as Jeff. I mean, I thought the show was great, but after a while, it was the same thing.
Right, like how many different famous actors could go on there and play against type? Like, Orlando Bloom seems like the sweetest guy in real life, but on this show, he's a real horn dog. Oh, you know, we get it, Daniel Radcliffe, you're the same way. And with Maggie, her name was. Mm-hmm. I mean, every time you knew something was going great, with Ricky's character, you just knew old Fatso was going to ruin it somehow by putting her foot in her mouth.
Are you calling Maggie Fatso and not Ricky Gervais?
One of them. I'm not going to say who.
Watch the season finale or the episode.
Yeah, it's a very good
show finale. I should
say. I'm not stepping on your shout. I apologize, Todd. Any other shouts? Or that's a pretty good one. I don't think you could follow that up with anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't think so. I have a good one. Our friend, and we've discussed him on the show. We played his stuff. Todd Barry. Mm-hmm. I believe you've broken bread with Todd Barry.
Oh.
He just came out with a new CD called From Heaven. Simply called From Heaven. And I just downloaded it. And it is hysterical. It is his best CD.
Oh, awesome.
And I'm a big fan. And, you know, it just... I can't even tell you how... just he really just goes through the minutiae, the everyday mundane stuff that, you know, the average comedian couldn't, you know, make funny at all. And he just mines comedy gold. And I was lucky enough just to get an interview with him, an email interview we like to do with some people. So I just sent him the questions, and that'll be posted up on NewsWigs.
Just recently?
Yeah.
Because you had done one before, right?
6 years ago.
Wow. Did he remember you?
Yeah. Well, I said, Todd, you know, it's been 6 years. I think, I think it's about time we reconnect.
Yeah. Because the last interview was very funny.
Yeah. You know what I loved about the last interview? He dressed me down so many times. He called out so many of my dumb questions. Uh-huh. I actually asked him, I'm like, you know, horrible, you know, young, stupid Jeff asking questions like, are you embarrassed of your early work in porn? And he goes, funny question. Good shit. And that was his response. Just totally. And then I made the mistake of saying, and I'm like, if you had a superpower, and in parentheses I put X-ray vision, flight, blah, 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 what would you have and why? And his only answer was, that, like, thanks, douche, for giving me a description of what superpowers means. So I've learned. My interview technique hopefully has gotten a little better in many years.
That was tough love. You learned the hard way, but I think you're a better person for it, and you should thank him for it.
Well, I think with, you know, a lot of people who, when they interview comedians, they try to be the funny ones, you know, and you got to strike that fine balance. I don't, but very good interviewers do. So check out his new CD, From Heaven. Go to toddbarry.com. Get it on Amazon, get it on iTunes, whatever, and it's really top-notch. And I have one more shout, and it is our boys, the Grundles. Just got an email from them during the show saying they will be playing a St. Patrick's Day show.
It's a late-breaking show.
Yes, it's a late-breaking show in Ambler at Casey's Alley, and I have to tell you, I love watching bands, but watching the frontman of the Grundles, Ted, at a holiday show is like Christmas morning, because no one loves dressing up, no one entertains a crowd more, whether he's dressed as a big stupid leprechaun, Santa, Boy Scout. He really is a great...
I like how you call the St. Patrick's Day a holiday.
It certainly is a holiday.
And a holiday show. Because of the Shamrock Shake, it's a holiday?
It is the most embarrassing holiday for any culture. You know, like Columbus Day for Italians, you guys just kind of gloss over it. You're like, yeah, whatever. Columbus killed a lot of Indians, big deal. But for St. Patrick's Day, it is horrible. It's just a horrible excuse for drunkenness and debauchery.
Well, the Manhattan Bagels at the end of my street has green bagels for the month.
And they certainly should.
Perfect.
Ross, have you come up with a shout?
I do have a shout. Did you guys see that? This is a shout that goes along with your jitterbug, Jeff.
The jitterbug.
But did you guys see that series when it was on the HD TV series of Planet Earth? Did you see that? Like the nature shows?
Was it on National Geographic?
I think it was on A&E.
It's called Planet Earth.
Planet Earth. It's a series of about 12 nature shows that were shot in
high. Yes.
Mm-hmm. They're out on DVD. They have been since a little bit before Christmas, I guess. But we got that set for Christmas and have just started watching.
Now, do you have a HDTV?
We don't. It doesn't matter. You don't need it. I mean, like, I'm sure it's even better on the HDTV, but even on a regular DVD, the images and the quality. I mean, that's the thing. The content of this show and the things that they capture on film are unbelievable. It's like nature shows on steroids.
Yeah.
And those, you know, how many times have we all been like stuck in a hotel room and you sit there and watch like nature shows for 2 hours, right? They're interesting, but this blows it out of the water. They're amazing. They're really amazing.
My brother's a big TV HD guy. He bought like a 60-inch insane thing, and my cousins are all into it. And I was at a family party, and they're looking at DJ's colossal TV, and my cousin's a real, he set the whole thing up, and DJ's like, you gotta watch this. And what did he put in?
Was it Planet Earth? And it probably looked amazing.
Oh yeah, and it literally was, you know, like you're in, you know, you might be eaten by a lion. You know, like you're part of the environment.
But that's the thing is, as amazing as it is, you know,
I was drunk. I might have thought that's why.
The images that they catch and the ways in which they did it, and the, you know, the kinds of things that they're able to film, they really go where nobody has gone before. It's amazing.
To piggyback on that, and I know it's certainly, and I know, and we hate the piggyback, but I'm totally going to piggyback on that.
To hump your back
is and it's way low def. But have you ever seen on YouTube the footage of the, I believe it's bison or oxen,
yes,
versus lions versus crocodiles.
It's awesome. It is one of the craziest, greatest. It is. I know. I watched it and it breaks your heart one moment, and then it's the greatest ending you've ever seen.
What is it? Basically, it's how long would you say it is? 15, 20 minutes?
No, no, not that long at all.
I mean, it's pretty epic though for a YouTube video.
5 minute long. Yeah, it's.
It feels long, but
To give you an idea, it basically it's. A herd of like bison are just at a watering hole, I believe. And a young one gets kind of separated. A bunch of hungry lions come. And a young one gets separated from the pack. And the lions overtake it, chase away the bison. And this little guy is about to get eaten and just
lions.
Destroyed by lions on a watering hole. And you're watching. You're like, this is horrible. Wow, a cute little animal is going to get eaten by lions. All of a sudden, out of the blue, the bison said, screw it. You know what? We've been pushed around too long.
No, before that, the crocodile.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So the lions are pulling this little bison, and then a crocodile comes out and grabs the small bison, the baby bison, and begins to drag it into the water with other crocodiles. And just when you think that the bison is going to be eaten by crocodiles, the lions pull it back to land.
Right.
Then, right, just when you think that the lions are about to eat this baby, suddenly, this giant herd of bison come. Like, I think the smaller group that had seen the small one, like, get taken by
they went and got their parents.
I swear, all of a sudden, like, you know, like, 50 of them come running.
It's awesome.
And then they take the lions and just, they maul them.
And they save Rush. And they save the little guy.
It was okay?
It was
incredible.
No, the little guy was fine. Like, they show the little guy walk away with his bison pals. And
I'll have to watch
you
that.
You can't believe it. It's low def. I mean, it's...
yeah, it's not
it's
Planet
like
Earth.
It's 72 dits per inch.
Well, on that note...
dots per inch, yeah.
I'm all excited. I think we have to end the show.
Yeah, and let's end the show now. Everyone go on YouTube and see if you can find that. It's called Super Bison Rescue Squad.
Is that what it's called? No,
I don't know.
Just like put in the word bison, crocodile, lion, I guess.
Bison, crocodile, lion party. I think it's bison, two cups and a bison.
Two bison, one cup.
Two bison, one cup. All right, people. That was Podcast 45. Thanks to Daniel Johnston. Thanks to the Washington insider himself, Scott Schrake. And thanks to...
His segment was awesome.
Yes, certainly was. See
you. Don't be a jerk.